This is Mother's Day 2020, the year 2020, an unusual year for all of us, not only in Arkansas where I live, but in the United States, and not there alone, all over the world, an unusual time this year of 2020. But it's still Mother's Day. We're not able to meet together like we usually do on Mother's Day in a house of worship. We always make a big, big deal out of Mother's Day every year. We give gifts to the oldest and youngest mother and give gifts to all the mothers and honor them in every way possible. We can't do that now, but we can do it by means of video, by means of television, radio. And so we're trusting that God will help all of you to understand that we love the mothers. We love and honor our mothers. For the scripture this morning, I've chosen 2 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 3 through 7. It says this, "I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of you in my prayers day and night, greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears, that I may be filled with joy when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother, Lois, and in your mother, Eunice, and I am persuaded in you also. Wherefore, I put you in remembrance that you stir up the gift of God, which is in you by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given unto us the spirit of fear, but of power, of love, and of a sound mind." Now the Apostle Paul was writing this letter to Timothy. He wrote two letters to Timothy, 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. In 1 Timothy, it apparently was that Paul was planning to get out of prison and coming to see him. But in 2 Timothy, Paul pretty much realizes his days are numbered. Because he, in 2 Timothy, says, "I fought a good fight. At the end of my life, I realize that it's about over for me on earth." And so in prison, he's writing this personal letter to his young child in the faith, whose name was Timothy. And he mentions the faith of Timothy, and he says that his faith came as a result of the faith of his grandmother, his mother, and finally to him. One of the most precious words in all the English language is the word mother. The first time that mother is found in the Bible, it seems to me, is in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 20. And in Genesis 3:20, Adam, the first man, was naming the various things on the earth, and he named his wife. It says in Genesis 3:20, "Adam called his wife's name Eve," or Eva, "because she was the mother of all living." And I thought how interesting that is, that Adam named his wife mother. The word Eve is the word mother. How important it was. He named her mother because she was the mother of all living. In Proverbs chapter 31, the wisest man who ever lived, whose name was Solomon, said about the godly mother or the godly woman, "She is clothed with honor and strength." In chapter 31, verse 28, he says of that honorable mother, "Her children rise up and call her blessed." And what I want us to think about today is the legacy of a mother's faith, or a mother's legacy. What will you as a mother leave behind? Now, we can certainly say that about children and fathers and all others, but today we're thinking about mothers, a mother's legacy. And in our passage, we noted that Paul said, I remember your unfeigned faith. It dwelt first in your grandmother, in your mother, and now it is in you. Certainly, that legacy of faith was being passed on. Several things about that kind of faith, and I think about five different things I'm going to mention, or four. First of all, it is a personal faith. You see, living as an example of God's amazing grace of Christ in your life. Paul says in this passage that we read that Timothy's faith was unfeigned. Now, that's not a word that I ever use other than when I read it in that text, and you probably don't use it. But the word unfeigned means genuine, or unalloyed, or sincere, or unqualified. In other words, it is a real, genuine, personal faith. And this faith begins with a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Some interesting things about Timothy. We find in Acts chapter 16 and verse 1, this information about Timothy. It says that then came he to Derbe and Lystra, those are two cities, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timothy. And we're introduced to Timothy. He was the son of a certain woman who was a Jewish. She was Jewish, and she believed. So she was a Jew who had come to faith in Jesus Christ as Messiah. She believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Messiah. So his mother, it says, was a believer, but his father was a Greek. So it would appear here that Timothy's mother was saved. She was a Christian. She was a believer, but his father was an unbeliever by it saying that he was a Greek. And so Timothy's mother must have taught him the scriptures. Notice in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15. In chapter 3, 15 of 2 Timothy, but continue in the things which you have learned, which you have been assured of, knowing of whom you have learned them, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures. So you see, Paul is reminding Timothy as he writes to him, since you were a child, Timothy, you have learned and known the Holy Scriptures. Now, that was the Old Testament. They didn't have the New Testament at that time, so it was not a New Testament. But his mother had been teaching him the truths of God's Word from the Old Testament, from the Word of God that they had. He says, and that from a child you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. So this faith, which a mother is to pass along to her children and to her grandchildren and great-grandchildren as well, must be a personal faith. And so Timothy's granny and mother had passed on to him something that money cannot buy, something more important than anything in this world. Then in the second place, not only is faith to be a personal faith, but it must be a permanent faith. In 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 5, let me read this scripture. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, which dwelt first. Now that word dwelt is a very interesting word. Dwelt first. The word dwelt means to abide. That faith was in grandmother. That faith was in mother. And now it was in Timothy. The Williams translation of the New Testament, which I really enjoy, it's an old, old translation by Williams. He said, the word abide means it found a home. So the faith found a home. It had staying power. It was permanent. It was strong. It had found a home in their life. We're going through tough times with the pandemic and all the various things that we're going through. This is not the first time our country has gone through hard times. Right this week, we're recognizing and remembering the 75th anniversary of the ending of World War II, and what a remembering time it is. I've been watching some of the specials on TV and the movies and things about World War II and the troubles that our country went through. And some of you probably even listening are old enough to remember those difficult and hard days. Boy, we ain't seen nothing compared to some of the days that they went through back in those times, in World War I, in World War II, and the Depression days, in Vietnam, and all the various times of our life. There have been many hard times, and this is certainly one of them. But we must have a faith that transcends all the problems of our life. And so Timothy had a faith, a strong faith, a permanent faith, and this faith came through his folks. Thirdly, it must be a passionate faith. You see, I believe that his grandmother and his mother realized that this faith in Jesus Christ and his word was too important to keep to themselves. Sometimes I will hear a woman or maybe a grandmother say, well, I don't want to influence my children too strong in this matter of their faith, of their religion. I want to be able for them to make up their own minds. So I'll just kind of lay back and not really push my thoughts upon them. Well, what that means is that faith does not really mean to that mother or grandmother, whoever it may be, it does not mean what it ought to mean. Because true faith should be a positive, passionate faith, too important to keep from themselves. A theologian of ancient days named John Calvin, he said this about Timothy's faith. He said, Timothy was raised in such a way that he could suck in godliness from his mother's milk. Calvin thought about that from a child it was so important to his mother, as important as the milk physically is the milk of the Word of God. And that's what Paul calls the Word of God, the milk of the Word. Timothy became a powerful leader. He became a pastor. He became a strong, outstanding man of God. He was not perfect. Paul was not perfect. I am not perfect. None of us are. It may well be that Timothy had some, that maybe he was rather timid and shy. It may be they had some fears, because actually Paul said, God has not given to us the spirit of fear, Timothy, but rather of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so he may have been encouraging Timothy. And also in another passage he said, let no man despise you because of your youth. It may have been that people were saying, he's too young to know what he's talking about, and they despised him because of their youth. We don't know really, but Timothy was not perfect, and I'm not, and none of us are. But his faith was strong, and it was a faith that had been passed on from his grandmother, from his mother, and now to him. And number four, it is a faith that is promising. Notice there in chapter 1, verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, according to the promise of life, which is in Christ Jesus. Paul said there is promise in this faith. Now, I've been writing letters to my granddaughters. I have a granddaughter in Colorado that's just graduated from Pepperdine. And so I wrote her a letter today and talking to her about what I think of her and my aspiration and desires and dreams for her. And I was telling how that as Papa, I'm called to her. I'm praying that her faith will be strong and that it will be in Christ Jesus all of the days of her life. And my youngest granddaughter is graduating from high school. And so I wrote her a letter and I told her the things that I was hoping for her. Her mother's going to make up something for them for graduation since they're not having normal graduations anywhere around us. A faith that is promising. And I said to my youngest granddaughter, I said, I was saved when I was 12 years old. And I've been saved for all of these many years. And I've never regretted knowing Jesus Christ, giving my life to Christ. I've never regretted, and I know that I never will. And I was thinking of what Paul said here in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12. Paul says, for which cause I suffer many things, nevertheless I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. You see, Paul knew as he wrote this letter from that prison cell that his days were numbered, his days were short, has no idea. But he says, I know whom I have believed. He didn't say, I know in whom, but I know the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. I know him, and I know it's going to be all right with me. And so he later on in the letter says, I fought a good fight. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. I have kept the faith, and I know there's a crown of life of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all of those who love his appearing. Mothers, I hope and pray that you have a faith that is personal because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. And if you do not, it is not too late. You're still alive. Come to Christ. Give him your heart. Give him your life. Begin to study his word. Hide it in your heart. Begin to meditate on the word of God. Build your faith. You pass it to your children. Some of you mothers are doing so hard working out there. And you fathers too. Days when you're having to homeschool. You never thought you'd have to do it, but you're doing it now. Homeschooling those children. Now you realize what a job those teachers have, don't you? Someone has mentioned that humorously. You realize what a job those teachers have, but you're helping your students and trying to prepare them in their life. So you want a faith that is personal. You want a faith that is permanent. You want a faith that is passionate. And you want a faith that holds promise. Teach your children about Jesus. Don't ever be shy. Don't ever draw back and be afraid of passing on something to them. If you truly believe in Jesus, if you really are saved, if you love him with all your heart, you know it's something you have to teach your children. You don't want them to go through life without Jesus and end up lost. You know, one of the most important things is the legacy of a mother. And I've got an article that was written to my oldest son, that my oldest son wrote. He wrote it on Mother's Day back in 2010. And I just thought I would share this. It's very personal, but I thought I would share this. I wish I could have written it myself. But John, who lives in Colorado Springs, said this, my mother. She would have been the third child had they lived. I don't know much about her older brother and sister, only that they drew breath briefly and then they were gone. We go out to the cemetery at South Fork Baptist Church at Gurdon, and we see those gravestones of her two little brother and sister there. They died just a month or two old. I've seen their gravestones tucked in the Arkansas dirt. The third child is traditionally the fun-loving clown who gets away with most anything. She was to have been the third child, but their deaths moved her to the front of the line. She is my mother. The living picked up where the dead left off, and she became one of the most responsible, organized, smart, and driven people I know. She's also one of the toughest. She graduated from college, the first in her family line, with honors, a degree in teaching. She went on to instruct future generations in advanced mathematics like geometry and trigonometry and calculus, and even married a preacher, and that was me. Had she been allowed to remain the last child, the carefree crazy heart, I'm sure my life would have been radically different. She sought to make sure I had everything I needed and much of what I wanted. Her financial scrimping and saving, and my father would readily attest to this, made certain that our family enjoyed four vacations. A family of four enjoyed vacations. College degrees came to pass for my brother and me. My teeth are relatively straight, and I even know how to play the piano because of my mother. Her nurturing made certain I knew the way to iron a shirt, a Sunday shirt, and the last words I heard each and every day were, "Good night, I love you." The national debt pales in comparison to what I owe my mother. There just are not enough zeros. I do not believe my mother would trade her life for another. It is the life she's been given, and she's made the best of it. But there have been moments, especially since her grandchildren have now come to live, that I'd swear I heard a last child's laugh. Maybe those moments have been there all along. It's just that now I am paying attention, like that moment this past December up in Winter Park, Colorado, as I helped her up a tubing hill, and when we reached the top, she said, "It's okay. I got it." And she leaned in and let gravity and Jesus take the wheel and flew down an ice-covered bank. I was just behind her on the way down, close enough to catch glimpses of what I believe were the carefree eyes of a little girl getting away with something, like her siblings before her. Those moments are brief and then gone, but they are there. I have seen them. I'm witness, oh, to grace, how great a debtor daily I'm constrained to be. I'm keeping an open mind about heaven being literal streets of gold and walls of jasper. For all I know, it could just as easily be piercing blue skies and snow-white tubing hills in Colorado. But whatever the particulars, I believe there will be a childlike quality to that land that is fairer than day, that place where we will be as God dreamed us to be. One of those moments when I step into those days without end, I will pause and listen for her. For I believe my mother will be found by her laugh, like a youngest child at ease. No more cares, no more worries, free at last, free at last, home. I thought I just had to share that. Wish I could have written, but John wrote that about his mother. My wife is very special. She's a special mother. But you who are listening here and thinking about your mother, and many of your mothers, you're very special too. And I trust that you will all work as hard and diligently to pass on a faith in Jesus Christ and His Word to your children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren and whoever may be around you. It is worth it all. In the letter that I wrote to my oldest granddaughter this afternoon, I said, remember this, only one life will soon be passed. Only what is done for Christ will last. And I believe that's true with all of my heart, that when we come to that day, standing before the Lord, it's all that's going to matter is, what did we do with Jesus? I hope that if you don't know Christ as your Savior, that you'll come to know Him, even today, even this very moment. Ask Him to come into your heart. If you believe with all of your heart, you can be saved. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved. Let us pray. Father, I thank You for these moments we've shared together. I thank You for the men who sang the song, "It is well with my soul," and sang it for mothers. I thank You for all of our mothers around the country, around the world. And I pray that You'll help all of the mothers to do like Timothy's mother and grandmother did, and pass on a wonderful, personal, permanent faith in Jesus Christ. In His precious name we pray. Amen.